recognize that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords. Lord, you ascended on high, and you told your early disciples to gather together and to pray, and that you would send forth your Holy Spirit upon your people. Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit upon your people again today. Ignite us. Set us aflame with your holy tongues of fire upon us, that we would be, as your church, all that you called us to be. O Lord God, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for revival within our hearts. Lord, we desire to have a holy passion for your name, for your truth, for your word. Lord, we desire to take that to the nations, to take that to our neighbors, to our families, to those that are closest to us. Lord, but we know that often we don't have the right words. We don't know what to say. But Lord, we do know how to love. You've told us how to love. I mean, you've shown us how to love by laying down your life for us, giving us your all, so that we in kind can follow your example by giving our all for your kingdom's sake, for your work within our world. Oh Lord God, we pray for our country of Canada. We thank you for our government. We thank you for Justin Trudeau, and we pray for him as he give leadership to the Liberal Party and to the country nationally. Lord, we pray for our provincial governments across this country. We pray for our city governments. Lord God, thank you for men, women, people that are seeking to give leadership in our land. We pray for them, Lord, that you would speak into their hearts, give them wisdom, that we would be able to continue to be sustained as a country of the freedoms that we have been established in the Judeo-Christian principles that we have in this land. We pray in this post-Christian era that we are a part of, Lord, that people would not forget upon what the foundation this country was built upon. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to speak forth those truths to people, to encourage people to hearken back to what we really truly believe in way of a relationship with a Heavenly Father and with His Son that He gave for us. Lord, we commit ourselves to that. And pray your power, because we know in and of ourselves we cannot do these great things and great works that you call us to. But Lord, you give us armor. You give us power through your Spirit. And we pray today that your word will sink deep in our hearts, and that you'll bless us by your power of your Holy Spirit and ministry of your Holy Spirit to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for great singing this morning. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us today. You've been drafted. You didn't know that. You've been drafted. Someone asked me, is that a football game I've been drafted into? Yeah, you know. Or a hockey. No. You've been drafted into the Lord's army. You've been drafted into the Lord's army. If you're a Christian here today, you've been drafted into the Lord's army. Wow, I didn't know that was part of the deal. It is. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. And Paul uses the vocabulary of battle and a fight in this last chapter of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at and reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 down to verse 20 today. So if you want to look ahead, you can look to that. As a child, I loved to play tag with my friends. And with tag, usually there's somebody that's it, you know, that's poisoned. And you try to stay away from that person. And you run and you hide and you do all kinds of things to stay away from that person. That's it. The one good thing about playing tag is usually there's a safety zone. A place that you can go that you don't have to run, you don't have to slide, you just, like, say this pulpit was my safety zone. I could just hold on to it like this. And the person that was it couldn't touch me and get me. So I could just hold on like that, and I wouldn't be it if he touched me. So the safety zone was a great place to be. You didn't have to work hard. You just had to reach out and touch it, you know. And I think with us as Christians, we like to think that there's a safety zone when it comes to the Christian life. We like to think there's some kind of middle ground, some fence we can sit on that gives us a freedom, free to not engage, not be involved, not run, not fight. We just reach out and we touch it and we're good. Nobody can get us. But God says in his word here to us today that there is no safety zone when it comes to the draft. There is no place that you can run or hide or get away from it. You are it in way of being drafted. You are in the army. You are a soldier, whether you like it or not. The Apostle Paul was never really a military man. He wasn't in the army. But he did get chained to a few guards, and he was in prison for quite a long time. And so he would have had a very close-up look at the armaments of those that were guarding him and that were soldiers. And so he uses military jargon quite a bit in the different epistles that he's written to the church. Just to take an example, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of the faith." This is Paul to Timothy. And then Paul again in 2 Timothy 2, 3 says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And here in Ephesians, we see again that he uses that military jargon of being in a fight, being in a battle. And so I'd read that for you this morning. Let's stand together as I read God's word. And I believe it's going to be up on the PowerPoint so you can follow along with me. Let's read together at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in every heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Thank you for reading God's word with us. Please be seated. There's a charge here, first of all, that Paul levies to the soldier in all of us. He says, first of all, in verse 10, be strong. Be strong. After all these practical instructions he gives us in chapter 3 and chapter 4, he now tells us, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. When Joshua was charged with be strong and courageous in Joshua 1:8, he was just on the cusp of marching his army into Israel, into Canaan, to take the land. And he had a lot of great battles to fight. We sung about the walls of Jericho and how they had to march around the walls and then let out a big shout with a big trumpet blast. And it wasn't because they were so strong and had such big voices. No, it was because God was with them that those walls fell. Likewise, in these words that Paul levies to the Ephesian church, he tells us to be strong and courageous. Be strong. He gives us that charge this morning. We are strong because we're not playing at tiddlywinks. Okay, you don't know what tiddlywinks is. I don't know what tiddlywinks is. It's probably something, a little fun game, maybe like X's and O's. Does that ring a bell? Rock, paper, scissors? No. Checkers? Okay. It's not a game, okay, that he's trying to get at here. This is he tells us be strong because there is a battle that we are fighting, and this battle is something that is got heavenly rewards, eternal rewards. It's something worth fighting for. It's not just a flag, you know, that the pastor is handing out on Canada Day, or a quarter that your dad gives you for getting the right answer. No, it's none of that. It's eternal rewards, a heavenly reward that Christ promises us. And so the battle is worth fighting. The battle is worth involving ourselves with. And in our passage here, we see also that the battle involves an arch enemy, that being Satan himself. Satan's purpose is to destroy and to kill. The only way to deal with an enemy that has greater force or greater power than we have is to get somebody that is on your team that has greater force or greater power than he has. Well, guess what, guys? We have God on our team. Yeah! Woohoo! We got God on our team. I don't know if you've ever seen a show like Stampede Wrestling. When I was a kid, a teenager, I was, you know, me and my brother, we would play Stampede Wrestling with each other because we would watch it on TV, and these guys would, you know, come up with a costume, and they would hang off ropes, and then they would jump on each other and do pile drivers and all kinds of leg holds and arm bars and all kinds of crazy moves that they would have on each other. But the best part was when they had tag team partners, because one guy would be getting throttled in the ring, you know, with an arm choke on his head and, you know, just look like he was done for. But then he would just kind of reach out to his partner and he would tag him. And the partner would come in, and he would have all this new energy, and he would get the opponent in a headlock, and then give him a 1-2-3, you know? I think of God like that. I think of God as my tag team partner. God, I'm having a rough time here. I need to tag out. You know, you come in, and you fight the opponent. That opponent being Satan himself, and really, you know, I'm pretty scrawny and a weakling when it comes to fighting someone as powerful as Satan, and I think we'd probably all recognize that as him being one of the archangels of God, created with all kinds of heavenly power, but yet he sinned and fell, and God cast him out of heaven. And forever since that time, he's always been our arch enemy and trying to trip us up. He's called the father of lies, the master of deceit. He's out to trip us up and to take away our awards and rewards in God Himself. Well, the fight is against the devil, as I said in verse 11 and 12. It says, put on the full armor, and the armor, of course, is something we have to put on. We can not put the armor on, but who would go into a fight and say, I'm not going to put any armor on? I'm just going to, you know, go in as is. Well, we would say, you know, give me all the help I can get, you know, when it comes to armor. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but David, you know, just took the slingshot and went and faced Goliath. Okay, yeah, that was a one-off, right? Most guys, when they go into battle, of course, would put on the full armor. They would put on the helmet. They would take on the breastplate and the belt of truth and the shoes and the sword, and they would be ready to go into battle, right? Well, we understand that we're fighting against the devil with his deceit, his craftiness, his trickery, his methods, his strategies. Satan will present everything to us in way of creating doom in our lives. But yet, if we're clothed with the armor of God, as our text talks about, we can defeat him. And we know that the battle is a spiritual battle here. It talks about that we're fighting not against flesh and blood, it says in verse 12, but against rulers and authorities and against powers of this dark world. Satan is a thief, says Jesus in John 10:10. He likes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan seeks to blind the hearts and the minds of people today. Paul uses the words to wrestle with him. The enemy is a spiritual force requiring spiritual weaponry. Satan uses tactics like division and prejudice, favoritism, anger, hate, pride, arrogance, stealing, killing, selfishness, immorality, lying and cursing, bitterness, and I'm sure we could fill out even more of that list, that he uses to divide people and cause tension and problems in the world and in people's lives. I don't think we can look at a newspaper today without being shocked by just the bad things that are happening in our world. And we can attribute those a lot to Satan and to sin that he trips people up with. The great enemy, the devil. Why is the world in such a mess? Why can't we make it a better place? The evil that consumes man every day is all around us. How are we going to overcome it? Ephesians 6:12 tells us very much that the battle is a spiritual battle. And those things are things that we need to come against with God's power. Well, let's look at this third aspect of the armament of the Christians in verse 13 and following. At verse 13, it says there again, therefore, put on the full armor of God. You notice that Paul said this a couple times now, put on the full armor of God. So we could actually go out and try to fight the devil or spiritual forces naked. Ooh, that's not a nice picture, you know. Nothing to protect you at all, you know, kind of embarrassed, nothing to hide. What do you do? Well, God says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. God provides it. It's not something that we provide for ourselves. Paul commands his readers to take up that armor. Whoever heard of a soldier going into a battle without any armor or weapons at his disposal? First of all, there's talk about a belt of truth. Satan, as we already said, loves to lie to us, tell us lies or falsehoods. The belt holds all the pieces of the armor together, that truth belt. If you don't have truth, all the armament falls off you. So we really desperately need the truth. And God tells us His Word is truth. His Word is truth. Secondly, there's the breastplate of righteousness. This again is not our own righteousness. This is Christ's righteousness. We don't come and battle against Satan and say, "Satan, I am really good. You know, I know, you know, the alphabet. I know some really hard things to know." No, Satan won't be too impressed with that. We come against Satan with a breastplate of righteousness, and that righteousness in what Jesus has done for us. What he's done on the cross and shedding his blood for us gives us our righteousness, our holiness before God, to stand righteous before God and before Satan, our accuser. Of course, the breastplate is what protects our heart. And we all know that the heart is the most vital organ, right? If we get hit in the heart, it's game over. So we know that righteousness is very important in the Christian life. Not only has God given us his righteousness, but that we have to reflect that righteousness as well. We have to pursue that. God doesn't want us to live in sin and continue to do evil. He wants us to be his holy children. He wants us to do acts of righteousness, to do good in the world. So the breastplate of righteousness is so important. And then the shoes of the gospel of peace. The Romans would go out to battle. And when they went out to battle, they sometimes would get on muddy terrain. You know, I don't know if you've ever stepped on a muddy patch, you know, but it's kind of like a wet banana. You know, it's very slippery, and your foot can go right out from underneath you. And you go down on your backside like nobody's business, right? So the best thing to have is something like golf shoes. Have you ever seen the bottom of golf shoes? They got these little treads, but they got spikies on them. You know, or we call them cleats, soccer cleats, you know. We got some footwear like that, but the Romans had hobnail sandals, and there were actually sandals with nails pounded through the bottoms of them so the spikes went into the ground. So you knew if they were going to stand, you know, those nails would be going down into the ground, and there would be nothing that would shake them or move them. And so they could stand firmly on slippery ground, even if it was muddy. So God is telling us here, wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. Those shoes are the gospel of peace that we have. And the gospel is the good news that Jesus gives us life, that he gives us our strength, that he died on the cross for our sins. Then it talks about a shield of faith. The shield of the Romans was not kind of one of these small little Captain America shields, you know. These shields were big. They were very large. They were rectangular in shape. They were usually 4 feet high and 2 feet wide. So you can imagine those babies were big. And so what would happen is if another army was shooting arrows or throwing their spears at them, they would hunker down behind these shields, and the shields actually locked together. So each Roman would lock his shield with the other guy beside him, and they would form a wall of protection against the army that was coming against them. So they would hold those shields like that, and then those fiery darts and all those arrows and rocks and other things that would be thrown up, they would form that wall and nothing would get through. Isn't that amazing? That's like the shield of faith in our lives. Faith is believing and trusting. Believing and trusting in Jesus and what he's accomplished in our lives and in the world. It's not a faith that just believes, though. It's a living faith. It's a trusting faith that takes one's faith out into the marketplace, able to share that with other people. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's a faith that goes and does. Then he talks about the helmet of salvation. Satan likes to attack our minds, give us wrongful thoughts, and trick us into thinking and believing things that aren't right and true. This helmet of salvation is really God's love for us and God's goodness. When we believe and trust in God's love for us and believe in His goodness, nothing can affect our mind. But when we start to doubt that goodness of God and His love, Satan has a way of coming in and saying to us, you know, maybe God isn't so good. Just like he did to Eve when she picked that fruit from the tree that she wasn't supposed to pick, right? Does God really want you to have the best, Eve? Is God holding out on you? I think he might be. And Eve started to doubt, started to think that God might not be so good. I wonder really if God loves me, if he's holding out and not giving me the best. You know, that tree of knowledge looks pretty good. And so some things do to us too. But when we doubt, when we fear, then Satan comes and wreaks havoc in our lives. And so having that helmet of salvation is so key for us and important to us. And lastly, we have the sword of the Spirit. This is an offensive weapon. It's a weapon that we use in way of doing close combat. And so I brought a sword with me today. Let me see here. Where did my sword go? I lost my sword. Oh, here it is. Okay. So I need a volunteer to come up and help me with my sword here today. Nobody's... Daniel? Not this Daniel, the one... I need someone my own size. How about this Daniel? All right, you come up, Daniel. Come up on the stage here. Okay, you face the audience here. So you got a big sword there, don't you? Okay, you just hang tight there. I'm going to get my sword. Okay. We're going to have a little battle, Daniel. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, you're going to try to give me a little, yeah, a little fight there. Okay, good job. Thank you very much. Here, can I shake your hand? Give me a high five, and you can keep that sword. There you go. The sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is the living word of God that drives home the truth of God. It's not a physical sword, it's a spiritual sword. And so in the verses 18 and following, it talks about prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives and in the church. Verse 18 again says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Prayer is not described here as a piece of our armor. It's actually encompassing of our armor. It's how we connect with God and invariably tag God and get Him into the ring and to fight our opponent. And so prayer is really our lifeline. Satan loves to have Christians doubting the importance of prayer in the church. But even more so, Satan loves it when Christians believe a lot of good things about prayer, but just don't pray. We in the church can have a lot of good things to say about prayer. We preach about prayer and say prayer is important, and yet we don't pray. Why is that? Well, we forget to pray. I don't know about you, but sometimes I sit down to a meal, you know, and I know I'm supposed to thank God for the food, but that food, the aroma, you know, the sight, you know, I just dig in my fork, and start eating, you know, and then I say, oh, I forgot to pray and thank God for the food, you know. And that's a good reminder that at mealtime to thank God for the food, but we need to be thankful for God for all things. And we thank God for our country today of Canada. There's so much to be thankful for the people that are in our family, for those that are around us that are encouraging us, strengthening us. So much we can be thankful for, but sometimes we forget. We don't know how to pray. Like, how do you actually talk to this great God that's created the universe and even us and knows us? How do I pray? Well, we pray simply. We pray, Father, like to an earthly father, but to this being a heavenly father. Father, you know, I need my daily food. I need transportation. I need this. God, I thank you for these good things. What do you think about this, God? How's it going today, God? Talk to God as a friend, as a father, simply. We doubt prayers are powerful. Sometimes we think, well, it's just words, don't we? We lose our desire to pray sometimes. We think, well, I haven't heard of any answers to prayer lately, or maybe, I don't know, I just don't feel like it today. We take God for granted in our lives. Prayer, though, is supernatural, and it's powerful. And so Paul says in verse 19, pray also for me. And whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's so important for us. We're in a battle, and that battle involves sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of peace and love to all humanity. A humanity that sometimes is so caught up in evil and darkness. And yet we have the light and we have what heals the world. May we bring that in way of the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is not so we can inflict so much in way of wounds and hurts on other people, but more so that we can heal other people and give them goodness and blessing on their lives. That indeed is the sword of the Spirit, folks. Not that we take down the enemy by our left hook or our chop or our jab or our stab, but rather that we bless them and encourage them and show them the Lord Jesus. Let's pray on that note. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we recognize our need of you constantly in our lives. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to put on the full armor of faith that we've heard about today. Help us to be people of prayer, to be so instant in prayer all the time. We commit ourselves to that today. Give us vision, Lord. Be our vision, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing today.
To me, say.
the Lord's benediction upon your hearts today. Please bow your heads. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated.